With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire wanted to thank you for your continued support of this podcast. With over 90 podcasts across our network, we are committed to bringing you great content to fill that sports-shaped hole in your heart. To find more Blue Wire Pods, search for us on iTunes or check out BlueWirePods.com. And remember, one day sports will return and it will be glorious. Thanks for listening. On to the show.
That was a, those were better episodes tonight, yeah?
I felt that last week's episodes were a little slow.
Last week's were like, in case you didn't know who Michael Jordan was.
Okay, so here's the thing. The listeners know that I didn't watch MJ growing up. So a lot of this is good for me. A lot of this is like, I'm texting a couple of my buddies, same age as me, and they're like, and we're all like, holy shit, like we didn't know some of this stuff with Michael Jordan that's coming out. Like stuff like we knew he lost before he won, but they're really going in deep with like, he got his ass beat by the Pistons. That's like, that's pretty famous, right? But a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, the Jordan rules, the Steph Jordan rules.
It is very, to me, watching this makes me realize like, okay, Michael Jordan lost, you know? He doesn't lose in the finals. He's 6-0. He's whatever. But he did lose. He did lose as he started in the NBA. And it is kind of cool to see that because I think the biggest thing this episode was how he lost and then went back and literally said, like, no vacation, no nothing, right? Right? Went to work out, yeah. All that stuff. It's, I don't know. You don't see that much in the NBA now.
My thing with MJ, which always makes him kind of the GOAT to me, because I didn't see, you know, like, MJ is the first player I saw, like, I guess I saw Magic, but like it doesn't really count to me, right? Probably the
Magic
same way you
feel. Your MJ, yeah.
Yeah, probably how you feel about MJ. You're like, you saw MJ, but it doesn't like really count. Michael had to kind of clear levels to get to the top, but once he got to the top, he never let up the throne. He did whatever he could to stay there. There was no, I'm unhappy. There was no, like, I need to switch teams because I don't like the way they're treating me. It was like, I figured out how to win and none of you fuckers are ever winning again. You know,
his relationship with the coaches is very striking to me. The episode midway through the episodes today, they fired, Doug Collins to get,
yeah, there's like, Jackson. There's like three topics here. I wanted to go into chronological order, but do we want to start on the coaching one? Should we just go there?
Yeah, I mean,
because that one's got like such a strong Warriors parallel.
It does, and we'll get to Rodman, but that one's a big parallel to me because, well, one, he kind of is like, look, you better get this shit right if you're gonna fire, you know, Doug Collins. By the way, Doug Collins looks good. Look, he's not as it looks stressed out last couple of years when he was coaching Philly. He looked like
he looked stressed out coaching back then. I think that's just kind of his vibe. Like, as someone who's always stressed, younger. I can get it. So,
you get the full head of hair and everything. Now he just looks
just full sweat. Like, I always love a good coach who's got like the full back sweat in that suit.
very Doug Collins. Why did he actually get fired? I'm sure there's a better story. There's more of a story. They didn't really get into it.
So part of it was the coaching thing. Like, this is the way they're narrating the story makes it sound like Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr without the extracurricular BS. Because Collins was a really good coach and like a hard worker. We both know like part of the reason Mark Jackson got fired was, you know, it's like you're going to be kind of a pain and you're not going to work hard and they're not going to run sets, all that sort of stuff. But he essentially ran the Westbrook offense with Michael Jordan. I'm going to pull up some numbers for you if you want to keep going.
But why you do that? Because that I didn't know that. And that was huge to me because they bring in Phil Jackson. First of all, Michael Jordan looked like he really liked Doug Collins. Could have been bullshit, but that's cool. That you don't see that
he
much,
did
because right?
He was because like Doug Collins had the emotional side down where it's like play hard, defend, and I'm going to take care of you. But like offensively, it was just MJ pick and roll every
play. Yeah, so kind of similar to Mark Jackson. It is cool.
It's very similar.
Very similar. And it is cool that, you know, MJ liked his coach and didn't play the game and try to get him fired. All that stuff that happens today. I thought that was cool. Draymond and Steph love Mark Jackson too. The Phil Jackson stuff is really interesting because MJ says, you know, they bring in Phil and they take the ball out of my hands. And Phil's thing was to get everyone involved. There was even a good Bill Cartwright line, which is kind of funny. But
he's like, they wanted to give the ball. And I didn't want Bill Cartwright to have the ball.
Which is, I mean,
he hated Bill Cartwright for so many reasons. But the biggest one was they traded his best friend for Bill Cartwright. And that's Charles Oakley. Mm-hmm. Oakley was his goon. Oakley was this dude who, you know, if anyone cheap shotted Mike, Oakley was going to hit him back. So
was Cartwright better than Oakley?
They were pretty much the same. It was like a positional trade. Oakley was a 6'8", 6'9", power forward, like a defensive power forward in an era where every team had those defensive power forwards in that era. It was just the way they played. Like they'd all play center today. Like Charles Oakley would not get a minute at power forward today. Yeah. But, you know, in that era, it was like you play him there, and then you had the offensive center. You had Patrick Ewing, or you had, you know, David Robinson, or whoever it may be. But
Karl Malone would be a good five probably today.
Yeah, and it's and Cartwright was a legit 7 feet tall, better shot blocker, just did center things. It was a positional trade is the best way to put it. It's not I don't know that Cartwright was significantly better. It was just like we have Horace Grant coming up. We need a center. But let me get back to the Doug Collins thing. This is interesting. Year one, Doug Collins took over. MJ averaged 37.1 points. Think about that. That's just some James Harden.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's Jay.
Year two, he averaged 35 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 3.2 steals. He won Defensive Player of the Year. He won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year the second year. Now, something you should know, year one, I'm going to double check this. Pippen wasn't starting. MJ's first year, actually, I take it back. Doug Collins' first year, they didn't have Scotty. So Scotty was drafted Doug Collins' second year. So Scotty came in 87-88, and same with Horace Grant. And neither of them started. They were both playing like 15 to 20 minutes a game off the bench. Year three with Doug Collins, MJ, this is when he went full Westbrook. He averaged 32.5, 8-8 with 3 steals. And he was playing point guard, and it was kind of like a novelty. Like, how are you going to make your best score the point guard? Obviously, we see every team do it now. And at that point, I do remember this wasn't covered in the documentary, but they believed strongly in Scotty and Horace Grant, and they were essentially playing spot-up roles. While MJ just did whatever. And I think that's part of it. They're like, you're making Scottie Pippen, whose best skill offensively is like passing, being a playmaker, you're making him stand in the corner. And like Horace Grant, the same thing. And they were, I mean, it is a very strong striking.
You hear those similarities where, I mean, it's a parallel to the Warriors, also parallel to today's NBA, which I found very cool, because you can see, it was neat to see MJ say, you know, I'm sure he didn't really want to go along with it, but he did to a degree, and they won. And I think that's...
Yeah, I saw you made a joke that MJ was on a Harden trajectory before Phil, but I actually think the better descriptor for him was Westbrook. Significantly more skilled. You watch like Jordan mm-hmm. highlights, you're like, God, his footwork and his like fundamentals are perfect.
Better player, right.
But like the same, like you watch Westbrook play and, you know, he stat pads the rebounds, but I see a dude who just kind of is like, if you miss one shot, he's like, I'm going to take over. Like it's like that, like, I don't trust you and right. I'm going to do my, you know, like I'm doing it to help the team, even though you and I both know like, okay, yeah, that'll help you get to the playoffs, but you're going to stop there.
Yep. By the way, also it's very similar criticism that he was hearing in the first episode where they said that he was a scorer, but he didn't make people better and he couldn't win the big game. I heard that and I was like, okay, they're talking like that. They do that to everyone. So they do that.
Yeah, it's irony because Magic and mm-hmm. Bird are wired like LeBron. Like they're mm-hmm. well, Bird was an assassin. Bird was like a last shot kind of guy, but like they're definitely like playing the, you know, they're triple double guys. You know, they're happier mm-hmm. getting 20, 10, and 10 than they are scoring 40. MJ absolutely is like, he has to like be forced. He has to be pushed to pass the ball. Those guys had to be pushed to score.
Which is, and then I even think a little bit further, and Kobe's on, ESPN tweeted about Kobe being in the next episode, but you look at that, yeah. that is the evolution, like the far right or far left version of MJ, where he is
totally. I've watched the future episodes. I'm not going to give away spoilers because most of our listeners haven't, but the 98 All-Star game is Kobe's first All-Star game. And he's the 19-year-old kid who everyone knows is going to be great, but isn't there yet. He might have even only gotten to the All-Star game because fans loved him. Like, he got the fan vote, I'm a Laker. But, like, he wasn't Kobe yet. He was the dude who everyone knew was going to be good. And there's some clips of, like, LeBron talk. There's some clips of MJ talking to him and like kind of making fun of him for like copying him. It's all sorts of stuff. It's really good. I'm up to like episode 8, and I will just say it gets better and better as it goes. It's like they're doing the slow play to give people who haven't seen it the background, and actually it just ends up so much better that way.
The background works. The background works, and so let's get to Rodman. They started the episode with Dennis Rodman, who. Between Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen, I don't know. Like, I think Draymond is a cross between both. Not to say that he's like better than either one or anything like that, but to me, Draymond exemplifies a lot of what both of them are.
So Rodman is
insane.
Yeah, Rodman's
absolutely insane.
They always compare Draymond's like emotional mm-hmm. intensity and kind of how he can just turn a game to Rodman. But beyond that and the switchability, the comps, you know, aren't there. Like Rodman shot 43% and scored, I think, 5 points a game.
I don't even know how, in 2020, but
it might be
not in the prime. Not in his
Yeah,
not
but
in
it's like, prime. But you and I both know, like, that's kind of, it's really hard to play a power forward who's that little of a scoring threat. Like Rodman, I think Kerr said in the modern NBA, Rodman would be playing center almost exclusively.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, he seems like he'd be playing. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the thing that I just remember is that team is actually the closest defensive comp to the Warriors team we just saw. Offensively, they're different. Obviously, Steph and MJ's games could not be any more different, and like Clay and Scotty and all that sort of stuff. But like defensively, it's really interesting to me. Those Bulls, their closing lineup was Rodman at center often. They would have Ron Harper, Jordan, Pippen, all 6'6 to 6'8 wings who could switch everything. Rodman could switch everything from the center position. And then they'd have someone like Kukoc in there who was just, he was just average. But it's like, you know, the point stands. Like, you have four elite defenders, three of which are like Hall of Fame caliber defenders.
Do we get a Tony Kukoc episode, by the way? Because I feel like I like Tony Kukoc. I think that's a player I'm going to enjoy.
He definitely comes in. Like, you get a pretty full picture of everyone here. But my point stands with it. Like, they might have been the real precursor to the Warriors with the defensive scheme. And it's just interesting to me they did this and no one even tried it.
I was going to say, so people veered away from it. And that might be a respect to MJ thing where they didn't even bother to do it, or the team's not that smart. You kind of see what happened.
I mean, it's hard. Like, part of the reason the Bulls could do it was because the defensive IQ of those three guys to guard every position. Like, I'm sure everyone would like to do it. We watched the Warriors this year. They couldn't have done it if they wanted to. Like, you have to have the players to do it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to ever – I mean, you probably don't get a team that runs that Warriors defense today. I mean, who comes close?
I mean, it's hard.
The Lakers don't have, you know, Clippers probably, yeah.
Clippers are close, but yeah. Probably like
Clippers. Two wing guys, though, that's it. And Pat Bev is kind of
– I mean, Pat Bev's fine for what he is, but he's not 6'7".
Right. So, yeah, KD, Iguodala, Clay, who am I missing? Draymond.
Livingston, so you got those four. Livingston. Yep. I mean, they had so many – like, part of the Bulls thing is they had so many wings, so many high IQ wings. Who, like Ron Harper was a guy who averaged 5 assists a game in his prime. MJ and Scotty go without saying. It's just like these are all players who IQ is like one of the first things you mention about. It's like length and IQ are the two things you mention when you mention them all.
Dennis Rodman had a gun in his car. And yeah, I mean, I safe to assume that he has something going on. They don't really get into it that much. But yeah, something was going on there. And I don't think in today's NBA would have been fast. No, it's not fascinating.
I'm more fascinated by the fact that he
it's kind of a big deal.
Just imagine the play. No, I'm talking about later on when he's like going to Vegas.
Right.
How that works. I mean, everything about Rodman would not play in today's NBA.
So I think
other than his defense, which will play in any era.
Well, so I think a lot of that is just back then. I mean, it's Rodman, but also like in the last episode where they talk about MJ getting on the court and practicing without the team knowing, a lot of it's just, my God, if the media was on them like all day long like it is today, I'd like there's no half the shit that doesn't happen.
There was no TMZ. Yeah. Like, I mean, we know certain players like James Harden have a reputation in that capacity. And I would venture to guess Rodman makes, you know, Harden look like Steph, you know, just like not doing anything, just kind of sitting in the house, you know, playing with the kids.
A 48-hour bender in Vegas comes back, shows up, and is relatively fine, according to MJ. I mean, that's
it took him like a half. I don't even understand how you do that.
That is just like elite athlete behavior. By the way, MJ with Pippen in the migraine, one just popped up in my head on episode 3.
You're bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, just popped up in my head. Maybe we'll get to that. But Rodman, yeah, going to vacation in Vegas.
So let's talk Rodman, Draymond. So the comparison's defense. And hopefully Draymond gets in shape and we see kind of some facsimile of the peak Draymond we've seen. Like, I think you and I both agree. Or let's talk about this. Do you think Draymond is still capable of playing defense like he did in 2016-17?
I think so. You know I do. I think he's got it there. I think you said Rodman 43% and 5 points. I think Draymond's probably closer to that than he is to whatever he was scoring in 2016 or even 2017. But I think the cool thing about Draymond is that he has, like, they talk about the point forward position that Pippen was playing when Phil Jackson coached the team. I think Draymond does a lot of that.
Rodman was a decent passer. They ran split cuts through Rodman, which is kind of funny. You'll see some clips of it later in this, but they would definitely do the post entry pass to Rodman, who's not a threat to score at all. And then do the, you know, it kind of MJ curls off it. He gets it in like the mid post area as opposed to behind the 3-point line, which is where, you know, and it's just like, I've seen this set. It's just, you know, not going as deep, but it's hilarious to me. Either way, no one's going to mistake Rodman for a point guard.
I do enjoy John Paxson and Steve Kerr on the team. Because those are, I assume, the scores.
The white shooting point guard, the high IQ, basically the college point guard, you know?
The best part of that.
Every college team, it's like the Aaron Kraft.
God, except Aaron Kraft can't shoot. I try to force the Warriors. Some of the Warriors comp stuff works, but then you think about that and you're like, well, Steph and Clay are the furthest from Paxson and Kerr.
Ideologically, you see, you know, if you didn't know much about Phil Jackson, you learn where Kerr gets everything. Like it's just, he's taking it all from Phil. He's taking far more from Phil than he's taking from Pop, in my opinion.
So the scene where MJ's like, look, you want Dennis Rodman to go on vacation? No, fuck that. Phil Jackson basically says, I mean, what are you going to do? Let him go, right? Just let him go. The guy says he needs a vacation. Pop probably doesn't allow
MJ,
that.
MJ looking like the immigrant dad.
Yeah, he says no, absolutely not. And he's right.
By the way, friend of the show, Jason Maples, pointed this out, but it is true. You know the team that Dennis Rodman was on before he came to the Bulls? Spurs. Pop kicked him off because he was doing this Rodman stuff. David Robinson didn't like him. All that stuff. The Spurs wanted to establish a culture. They wanted that discipline, that Spurs way. They were like, Rodman does not work here. Phil, opposite, is going, you know, he's just misunderstood. And if we just give him a little rope, you're going to get a player who is irreplaceable.
You ever watch Finding Forrester, by the way?
I have. Good movie.
I did like it. Phil Jackson playing the white savior to a T. I do actually like
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. I do like the. I did like it. I did like the fact that, because, you know, if I were a coach, not coach, but if I were, I'd probably lean more on the Phil side, because it's like, look,
I would lean more Pop because
you let the guys do what they want to a degree.
I would want to be Phil, but it's so hard. It takes a lot of confidence and trust to do that. You know, like I think that's objectively harder coaching to give players that kind of freedom.
I disagree, because in terms of objectively harder, because look, you're going to have to trust them at some point anyway, right? They're the guys that are playing the game. And if they're the guys that are playing the game, you have to trust them on the court. You got to give them the trust off the court.
Maybe I'm just exposing my lack of patience and my need to control situations. So maybe that's more what I'm saying. Because you're right. Like, a big part of Phil's ethos is, I can't call a timeout and, you know, drop every play and like take the shot for you. So I need you to be able to think the game. And a lot of the stuff he does is mind games with his own team to get them there. I don't know. I always think it's fascinating because they're the two most successful coaches of my lifetime. That's not even close, right? They have, if you throw Kerr in as a disciple of them, they have 20 of the last 30 titles. Just think about it. Phil has 11. Pop has 5. Kerr has, I guess that's 19. I'm sorry.
Kerr's 3.
They have 19 of the last. My point is,
a lot of fucking titles.
Yeah, that's just every you know, like, majority of the teams are defined by like these two coaching figures trees.
What does Kerr exemplify more, though? Because he loves Pop.
I think he has both tendencies, honestly. But and I do think we're kind of, Pop's more of a little more of a hard ass, but he's not Bobby Knight, you know, like I don't want to paint it that way. It's just like, he's got his baseline things he needs. Phil's a little more adaptable on certain things, and Phil might be actually more rigid tactically. Like Phil's like triangle, 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 triangle. Pop has like a core ethos he wants, but he's willing to adjust the scheme.
Well, that's why he won that championship against.
Yeah, the
way that they played.
The 2012 to 14 Spurs played significantly different than the 2003-07 Spurs.
Yep.
So that is kind of interesting when you think about it. It's like Phil is a lot more flexible with personalities, but a lot more rigid schematically. And then Pop is a lot more kind of rigid with with personalities. And, you know, he doesn't want to deal with certain kind of guys. He wants low maintenance. He really wants low maintenance players, right? But he's a little more flexible schematically, you know, like when he has more shooting, he'll shoot more. When he has less shooting, he'll play slower and post it up.
You know what that just tells me? It tells me that Phil Jackson has a higher emotional intelligence, and it tells me Greg Popovich is probably a better tactical coach. A better
X's and O's go.
Yeah. But it also tells me that Pop was ex-military. That's what it makes sense. If it was Steve Kerr.
And it tells you that Phil is a little bit of a hippie.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. Both guys succeed. I get both sides. If it is Steve Kerr coaching the Bulls team, guaranteed Steve Kerr is letting Dennis Rodman go to Vegas. Probably lets him go for like a week too. Probably just lets him off.
Yeah, I'm actually having a very hard time deciding which one Kerr is more like, because I can find we picked like four quadrants there, and I have an example of Kerr for each one, right? Like Phil,
I hear you.
Or sorry, not Phil. It's Kerr can be very rigid schematically at times. He can also be a little more flexible. He's obviously got high emotional intelligence, but there are times where he'll do things where I'm like, what do you, you know, like, like with certain role players, he just doesn't want to deal with them.
I think suffice it to say, though, all that makes Steve Kerr a pretty fucking good coach. I think all that to say,
you can see
Steve Kerr is probably top three in the league.
I mean, you can watch it. So you're more more knowledgeable on Pop because you've seen more Pop the last 15 years, right?
I've seen Phil with Kobe, but yeah, not with MJ.
And then you're seeing more of Phil now, and you can just see how, like, it's not that Kerr is more one or the other. It's just they both have such a big influence on him. He has little bits of each of them.
God, it just good. Just living, being Steve Kerr is a good life to be Steve Kerr.
By the way, I always forget Kerr went to the Spurs the year after the three-peat. He was on the full three-peat Bulls, and they won a title. So Kerr technically four-peated.
Oh, that year didn't play.
Yeah, the first year. So this is 98. Uh-huh. He goes to the Spurs in the following year, and they win the title. So Kerr technically has a four-peat.
The guy just doesn't lose, man. He just doesn't lose. Also looks the same as he did back then. Like, the guy.
Yeah, I can't even tell if he has more whites in his hair, like a little few more grays. Like, maybe, but it's like he has kind of – or he has bleach blonde hair, so it's not like you can notice that. Really.
He's also like – looks like he's like skinny still. Looks like he's in good shape.
Yeah,
MJ's fat. You know?
He's maybe gained – Steve Kerr, what do you think? Over, under 5 pounds?
Yeah.
Since his playing days, maybe 10?
He seems like the guy that doesn't gain weight, though. He's like high metabolism. You know, everybody's got that, like – actually, my friends have metabolism.
He stays active, but yeah, also like the metabolism plays into it. I don't know.
MJ looking fat as fuck. I mean, like most of these guys, like Scotty and Ron Harper is fucking 300 pounds. I don't even know what he looked like back then. But he looks humongous. John Sally looks pretty good.
Yeah, MJ having a quintessential dad bod is always funny to me, because like, I mean, he was like peak athletic specimen his whole playing career, right?
Yeah, you would think maybe not, right? I mean, just how does that kind of make sense?
I mean, he's not obese or anything. He's just got a dad bod now.
Where do we go next? It was, you know,
I want to keep going into the coaching topic, because I think it's interesting. A bit, we touched on it earlier, but we should get back to it. So convincing Michael to let go of the ball and not be, you know, point stalling like Westbrook or Harden, like really Westbrook's the comp for me, because, I think Russ wants to win. I don't really think Harden wants to win. I think Harden wants his numbers. Harden, by the way, Trae Young, shout out for love of the fame tweet of the night for saying Mike won all that in 1 year. And he's referring to the year he won individual awards, not the years he won titles. It tells you everything you need to know about Trae Young.
Do you think...
Is there a more disappointing young player than Trae Young?
By the way, some of the issues with today's media is that people aren't disappointed with what Trae Young has done this season. Just kind of think about it from that perspective. Yeah, I think, you know, players around the league or media or coaches around the league, they probably talk about Trae Young like, it's fucking miserable to play with the guy. He doesn't give a shit. But I think if you talk about people who look at highlights on Twitter, I think they do like Trae Young. I think that's a problem. That's a problem, though.
That's always been a case. Like, people, when I was a kid, everyone loved Stephon Marbury, highlight machine. But he got crushed for not winning, you know? So,
yeah, at some point,
kids have always kind of liked the young, flashy player and not cared about the results.
Kyrie Irving, right? You're right. So Kyrie's
all,
one of them.
I can go back. Iverson, when I was young, was the same way, and they weren't winning. T-Mac was the same way. I mean, they're both better than Trey. But, like, my point is, like, kid, you know, like, people always get hyped about the next thing and don't care about the win-loss record. The more interesting thing is, like, the media coverage and kind of being obsessed with his numbers as opposed to kind of watching his game holistically.
Yeah, Trae Young, I was all in on Trae just because of the off the Steph stuff. It was pretty fun, but just kind of watching Trae. Not like I watch all the games, but the guy is probably more James Harden than he is.
Mentally, he's Steph. James Harden. Yeah. His skill set, like just the fact he's short, the shifty athleticism, the skills are more Steph, but like the mind is pure Harden.
Yeah, the mind is huge because I mean, right back to the Jordan doc, the mind is huge. I mean, we look at the way MJ evolved after losing to the Pistons, right? We look at the way that him and Scotty kind of overcome it.
And this is kind of my overarching criticism of NBA media. Like, maybe in the 00s, we shifted too much into kind of being obsessed with killer instinct and intangibles. And, you know, LeBron's not wired like Kobe. And, like, it was, like, too much, right? It was a little too much. Now we've veered too far the opposite way, in my opinion. It's too much about... how can you say that? He averages 27 and 8 and 7. And there's no thought to putting into context what those numbers mean. Because you and I both know everyone, like, someone has to average 25 on every team, basically, right? Like, you can – and it's not a comment on their talent, but there's a ton of talented players throughout history who winning wasn't the top priority. And if the guy's playing for his numbers, what matters, right? Like, the point is the game is about winning, and it needs to be covered through that context. So I think there's been too much of an overcorrection in NBA media.
Not all 27-7-7s are built the same. MJ averaging 37. My God, 37 in a league that – I mean, I'm not even looking at the numbers, but I can't imagine everybody was averaging 150 points like they are today. So pretty impressive, obviously.
The scoring was high in the 80s then. It was closer to what it is now. And then it slowly – that's another thing on the MJ thing, by the way. The first three-peat, they were an offensive juggernaut. The second three-peat, they were suffocating defensively. But, yeah.
Very – you know, by the way, Carmen Electra makes a cameo on The Last Dance.
48 years old.
48?
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, especially for, you know, usually Asian women, 48 makes sense. My ex-girlfriend's mom, 50 years old, looked like she was 32. I knew Sam would enjoy that one. The Bad Boy stuff was pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Back-to-back champions, Isaiah Thomas. I'm not going to lie, Sam. You know, maybe he's not likable or whatever.
I think he's really charismatic as hell. Yep. I think actually I've never liked the he's not likable thing. He's the players who hated him called him a wolf in sheep's clothing because he has that smile and like he comes. He's so polished when he talks. He's like, oh, you know, it was just a foul. Yeah, it wasn't dirty. You know the type. And like, if you play just against someone, if you play with someone like that, it's like the first couple times you get the benefit of that. You're like, the third time you're like, you know, that guy knows, he knows what the hell he's doing.
Oh,
that's all BS.
Oh yeah. So the type that, you know, you're lining up at the free throw line, he's making jokes, he's talking, laughing up with the refs. And then the ball goes up for the free throw and he's immediately like
elbow
slamming. Yep.
Elbow in the ribs immediately. Yep. So he's, I tweeted it and I was surprised I didn't get that much backlash on it, but he is Chris Paul if Chris Paul's teammates adored him. So, because the Bad Boys Pistons were like ride or die with Isaiah, because Isaiah took the fall for a few things that they're not going to cover in this documentary for the team. Like, he was a team leader, but everyone else hated him. So, just a quintessential point guard, you know, like he knew how to be the face. He got everyone going, and just kind of, you know, had that like charisma. But then if you're on the other team, you're like, I hate that dude so much.
I mean, I think that's a great thing. That team looked awesome. I don't know if I would have wanted to watch them play, but if I had lived in Detroit going up there, I'd probably love that team. I mean, they won two titles.
Yeah, actually, I thought the Warriors were going to be like them the first couple of years because those Bad Boy Pistons, it was Isaiah and Dumars did all the scoring. So the backcourt did all the scoring and everyone else was a goon.
Yeah,
and like their level of goonery was significantly worse than like the Warriors' level of goonery because that's the way it was ref then. But yeah, like Laimbeer, Mahorn, Rodman, Sally, all these dudes were guys who were gonna foul the hell out of you.
So when we talk about wanting a team of Draymond, Marcus Smart, and a couple other fuckboys, that's what we want. We want Stephen Clay to average 30 points a game and then the other guys to just like get into fights and just piss people off. Yeah, I think maybe you'll get the 2020, 2021 Warriors to emulate that type of team. But I enjoyed them. They're probably hated because they went up against MJ, right?
The era was obviously everyone loved either the Lakers or the Celtics, Magic, Bird. And then
MJ, they beat the Lakers. They swept them.
Yeah. And then, you know, they always played the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it was like those two were like the league's chosen ones. And then MJ and the Bulls were like the next. You know, like everyone's like, oh, they're coming next, right?
Yeah. They're like that weird in between transition.
They always like to say we crashed the party, but it's not inaccurate because, like, you know, the league loves the idea of like star teams on the coast or in Chicago in like all major markets with very marketable stars. To be fair, Isaiah would be incredibly marketable. Like, there's no reason he can't be, right? But like, he's not like,
he's not MJ either.
Yeah,
you know? No, I mean, but I mean, MJ, Bird, Magic, I mean, those guys are fucked. They're all top.
I mean, the top
10
five.
Player. Yeah. Top yeah, 10 of all time. Right. So it's tough. I mean,
and
I
they mean, ha- Steph, they all LeBron. Have like the perfect storm of like, players not just the game. Too. Yeah. Not just the game being marketable. Like, everyone likes watching Magic or Jordan or Bird. Right. But also having kind of like the personality to go with it. Like, that's the other thing. Actually, I'll get into this a little later, but that's the other thing that stands out to me with Michael is for a guy who is the most famous man on the planet. He made a lot of time for everyone, and he played the game. He does the thing that we always give Steph credit for. It's like, you don't have to talk to everyone and be the nice guy, but he's just like, he did it because he thought it was his obligation.
Now was he a fake nice guy? Was he an asshole to media, you know, outside of the couple moments that they have it on camera?
Not, I mean, define what you mean, because he didn't deny access and he didn't not answer questions.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, even Kobe, right? Kind of a dick to media before he kind of got a little bit older. LeBron noted to be a fucking asshole to media.
I'm thinking Steph, more along the lines.
Pretty nice.
I'm thinking more. Okay. What do you think of Draymond with media?
Draymond's great. No, he'll answer. Like he's, I think personally, like he's good with media.
That's more of what I would say with MJ. He might poke at you or get up, you know, like that sort of thing, but he's going to answer your damn question. So okay. He gave everyone time and he didn't do the, I don't like that guy's question, so I'm going to pout, or I don't like that guy's question, I'm going to get his credential revoked.
I think that's maybe what I was going for.
So it's like, I mean, there are two sides of the same coin. I think getting someone's credential revoked is worse because it's just so passive aggressive.
Yeah, if not even that, but just kind of like letting him know, like, hey, listen, don't ask that.
How much of that was the era though? Because like, I wonder what MJ would do if he would play today and realized he could do that. Cause like you're watching this and like one of my overarching themes of this is like, wait, they had the best team in the league with the most marketable athlete on earth, bigger than any NFL star, bigger. And they were just going to blow it up because the GM wanted to. Like that would not exist in any sport today. You know,
who do we, the part we have to admit here is it is probably because of LeBron that he would be able to do that today, like kind of control the way he goes about.
No, that's actually my biggest compliment or biggest compliment of LeBron is like taking he kind of broke some norms and took power back for the players. Again, my criticism would be like, has it gone too far? And yep. Like, where's the media calling balls and strikes here, right? They're not calling balls and strikes. They're just kind of going with whoever's going to get them paid.
Yep. So I agree. That's a great point. Because, I think that's where MJ probably didn't have or it probably wouldn't have been accepted. Actually, LeBron's wasn't accepted either. But he went there. He did it. And now the NBA is where it is today. And it's probably good. I mean, maybe if MJ was the way LeBron was, maybe they win more titles. Or, honestly, maybe he's not even on the Bulls for those two three-peats, right? Maybe he's on the fucking Lakers or he's on the Sixers or some other team and he's not winning.
I mean, there's multiple things where – so there was a rumor that Jordan really wanted them to trade Pippen for Patrick Ewing because it took Pippen 4 years to get there in terms of being a title caliber player. And – meanwhile, Jordan is like, dude, I'm like 25 and like, what are you doing? And Ewing's his boy. Ewing's the better player than Pippen at the time. And he's just like, why aren't we making this trade? And Jerry Krause didn't want to make it. And, you know, Krause is going to get painted poorly this way, but like he did brilliantly build.
All season, all four episodes he's been shitted on.
It's not unfair. It's not unfair. Because he tore it down. Like he's interesting because Pippen wasn't a highly recruited player and neither was Horace Grant. Like they were quote unquote Draymond level finds. Like he was playing in Central
Arkansas. But he was drafted so high. I mean, Pippen was drafted high though.
He was, but he wasn't MJ was a sure thing.
Right. Okay.
Ewing was a sure thing. He was the equivalent of taking Steph Curry 7th overall where like you could see the talent, but it's not like everyone knew he was going to be something.
By the way, not trading Pippen for Patrick Ewing, another Warriors parallel, not trading Clay a wing for Kevin.
And that's one of those, that's also kind of because we don't know for a fact. So it's kind of urban legendy. Like some media people swear it was real.
I don't know. Maybe that'd be, didn't MJ eviscerate Patrick Ewing too? Wasn't that also a thing? Although that's everybody I guess he played against. But
yeah, I mean that when this is the funny thing to me when people criticize MJ for or not criticize, but they try to say like, well, LeBron is going against KD and X, Y, and Z, and Michael Jordan had no competition. I'm like, all his competition were big men. It was Patrick Ewing. It was Hakeem Olajuwon. It was Charles Barkley. It was Karl Malone because that's just the way the game was. The fact he was winning against big men as a wing is actually probably more of a compliment.
What do you think, by the way, speaking of kind of him going up against big men, what do you think about the way that the game was ref back then? I mean, just a lot of, I mean, they kind of.
Dude, we got to watch.
Inundated us with
that. We got to watch one of these old games because it's ugly.
I can't imagine.
I think Sharp said it on our pod, a friend of the show, Andrew Sharp. He called the 90s the blood sport era. And on the one hand, I like, so, you know, I'm a little tired of watching any touch be a foul, right? On the other hand, watching every game be 78 to 81 with just nothing ever called is also crappy. You know, like you want, I feel like the perfect score is around 100, you know? You want games to be sitting, like, if it's a good offensive game, you get up to 110, 112. And if it's, like, a bad offensive game, you're in the 80s.
The by the way, the overall parallel here for I think a lot of people is that what the NBA was back then trended way far on one side. What the NBA is today probably overcompensating a little bit too much on the other side.
Right, instead of just kind of living in the middle.
If we could find a balance, Sam, I think we'd have a great product, great media coverage, great you know, NBA's pretty good today, but I think it is interesting when you watch this doc. For me, it's just watching kind of like the way guys are covered, the way MJ's covered, the way Pippen Have we talked about Pippen?
Well, this wasn't a heavy Pippen episode. Mm-hmm. So, we'll get into more Pippen
migraine Pippen though. By the way, MJ didn't look happy. I don't know much about it.
In the Jordan rule, so they're going to get into Jordan rules later, which was actually similar to a friend of the show, Ethan Strauss's book, Victory Machine, a little salacious giving behind the scenes details. Michael questioned if it was really a migraine or he choked, you know, kind of like stuff that if happened now, people would. Dude, Pippen wow. I think Pippen went 1-for-8. 1-for-8 in a game 7, like 5 points total.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what did LeBron go in that game 6 that they lost to the Mavs?
He had 15 or something. I mean, like we're talking all-time bad.
Yeah. So 1-for-8. You could see, I mean, I think that part's probably important to bring up is you can see MJ. MJ is not passive aggressive. That is one thing I will say. He is not passive aggressive. You know, you look at today's league, Steph Curry, LeBron, KD, a lot of these guys, they don't really come out there and say they don't like someone. You look at MJ talk about Isaiah Thomas. You look at MJ talk about Scottie Pippen.
Oh, you see him talk about Isaiah now, he's still bitter.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Yeah. Just like even now, right? Like even him talking about Pippen, they're like, and they're asking him about it. He's like, look, man, he said he had a migraine, you know? And you could kind of tell in his tone, he's like, that fucker doesn't believe that he had a migraine. No fucking way.
In his mind, he's saying, I should have 7.
Right. Like, nobody's probably going to hit 6 again. But, yeah, that guy, I can tell he was still mad about it, which, to me, that's pretty cool. Like, that's, you know, as a competitor, right? Like, I guess it's also cool if he lets it go. But, like, Kobe and Shaq let their kind of hatred go. But MJ is known to be the pettiest athlete, right, of all time, so.
I mean, he's a very driven individual. I think we'll see more of it, but I don't know. It's getting good. It's cool to at least have something to talk about.
Yeah, it is. So, BetOnline Madden Tournament. So, with currently no NBA, MLB, or NHL, you might think there's nothing to bet on. You'd be wrong. So, our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker, blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL, no problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. That's amazing. You can still also bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day, all online. So go to betonline.ag, use promo code BLUEWIRE, join today, receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
Let's take a break from the Last Dance and talk about one thing. So NBA players starting May 1st are going to be back in facilities.
I thought you were going to say NFL draft. I got so excited.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that too. But let's do this first.
What? Well, hey, look, they're going to try. They're going to try to bring the NBA back. Right. This is a test run.
I don't understand. I don't think individual workouts matter.
But are they not kind of?
Have you been to a grocery store? Obviously, you have because you've eaten food. Because you're still alive.
Been to the liquor store a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so I was at a grocery store a couple days ago, and had to line up outside, mm-hmm. and you know, mask and gloves, and then you get to the front, and they Lysol or use the wipes or whatever they're using to give before they give you the cart. And then you go in the store, you get what you want, and then you leave, and it's the same drill. I'm thinking about an individual workout. If it's just, let's just say this, it's staff, it's two coaches, you know, maybe maybe Bruce Frazier and a trainer or something. And they all like do the wipe down before they go in. Does it really matter? Because it's like all you have to do is wipe everything down before the next guy comes in. Obviously, it's not the most efficient way to do it, but like,
I mean, if they're sweating, falls on the floor, you wiping down the whole fucking floor too. It's a lot.
Would have been nice if they did that in the 2016 playoffs.
Oh, dude. By the way, Drew Schiller, friend of the program, decides to tweet that shit out. What is the hell is he doing? Just doesn't make no damn sense.
I think
sense.
He just wants to let people know it happened. Yeah. I appreciate him letting them not erase it from history. Thank you, Drew. Keep fighting the fight.
Sam, great propaganda. Very sharp. I don't know really what to think. Also, some states are closed. The California's closed. They're not. I mean, Anthony Davis has a gym in his home, so I'm sure he's fine. But also selling
homie,
his home, by homie the way.
Selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. he's gonna watch this and be like, maybe I should go back to Chicago. Really want to play with Zach LaVine, Otto Porter.
Otto Porter would be probably a good player to play with. I don't know, man.
Yeah, like, not in that way.
Yeah, it seems like kind of the NBA is they are trying. I mean, you can't fault them for trying to kind of.
We knew they would try.
Get something back in line. So I kind of tweet roast the NBA a lot, but I mean, what do you expect them to do? They're losing fucking billions of dollars. You can't not expect them to try to come back. But I still don't think it's going to happen. Do you? Like, it feels too difficult for it still to happen. You just brought up the fact that they had to wipe down the entire place. And it just seems like if you're sequestered in one single spot, how about the people that get you food? How about the people that take you to places? Klay Thompson, actually, Klay's married now, so maybe not him. But Jordan Poole is going to be fucking around with, you know, random people. And so maybe that, like, you're going to have to test guys every day.
Well, I also just think there's a difference between, okay, so they're doing individual workouts and actually putting on a game. You know, individual workouts are not that hard.
Then you've got family, right? If you're doing a game, you've got family, you've got staff, you've got, you know, you're going to have the staff not be with their
family.
You're going
to have to put Ron Adams in a bubble, keep him away from this.
Well, it's not even a joke. The guy's like 80 years old, right? So it's like, exactly. Yeah, it's a fucking, like, the guy Corona, it's not good. So it's hard. It's hard. Although, you know, the Warriors, if the NBA comes back, highly doubt the Warriors are playing a game. Really, it's probably just going to be the 8-16 playoff teams.
Yeah.
But still.
I think they're going to do the Vegas thing.
Yeah. You think it'll happen?
I don't know if they'll be able to complete it.
You think?
I'm willing to put money that they do it.
They try.
Yes. I'm willing to bet that it starts.
Kind of a bad look. No? They started and have to stop. It almost feels like if they started, they have. I mean, China started, or they tried to start, or they started one or the other, and they had to stop. And since then, they've been.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I think they're just going to have to. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, they're just going to have to. I mean, just another. Yeah, maybe they just have to try not to have the PR hit, because the Rudy Gobert thing did make him look pretty stupid when it did happen. Even though, like, I mean, that would have happened in any other league, right? MLB, NFL. It just so happened it was the NBA.
It so happened it was the guy who made a dumb, like.
Right. Right. Right.
We'll monitor that. I think you and I both think it's going to be sometime in June, somewhere between June to mid-July, where they try to actually start the games. They're just trying to – I think they're trying to slow roll it. They're like, all right, you can get your workouts in. Let's start normalizing people to this.
Yeah.
And that's that. We'll see where it goes. I hope they do play the playoffs. I don't even know what to think. Like, I'm going to call an asterisk title no matter what.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to be happy to have something to watch too.
Yes. I wasn't invested in this season. The Warriors, I mean, this just wasn't really a good season. I mean, the Lakers are probably the favorites to win it all. I know you disagree.
I actually, You know, when they get closer to it, we'll start talking about who gets an advantage from it. I think the Lakers are probably the team who benefits most from this because I think the Lakers' biggest weakness was their shooting. And I don't think anyone's going to be shooting the ball. Like, this is going to be more about, like, who can rebound and kind of get to the rim.
Yeah, Paul George is going to even be worse than usual in a playoff series. I can't fucking wait. All right. Do we want to finish off with some NFL stuff? It's like 5-10 minutes.
Let's do a little draft. First off, I want to start with this. Before we get into what the Niners did, what did you think of the coverage?
I thought, wow, I like you asked that. I didn't even notice it was a virtual draft. I just thought it was a normal draft. There were times I was watching it or had it in the background where I thought, this is just how the NFL draft is every single year. Only, I thought they did a great job.
The only thing we lost was the 30 seconds of the guy walking up to the podium. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all we lost, because otherwise all they do is they show the guy, like, you know, in tears that he got drafted, which and then they cut to the highlight reel of his college play.
It's the
like
same.
Mel Kiper talking like, great hands, great explosive, flexible hips.
You know? Hey, is it me, by the way? You've watched years and years of coverage like I have. Is it me or are they using – is this like the first year that they've used Twitchy? Because I heard them say Twitchy like a million times, and I can't tell if this is just this year.
It's been a thing for a few years, but I feel like they went overboard with it.
Yeah.
Because like everyone's like, okay, so it's a big thing with like Nick Bosa. You know, like with DNs, it's like how much bend and how twitchy are they to get off the line.
Bending is a good one, yeah.
And then like, I don't know who took it from like blog boy sphere to mainstream. But now it's mainstream and it's nonstop. And it's funny because like it's objectively a true thing. Like you want athletes who are, you know, quick and flexible and twitchy and everything, but it's like it's funny when like Mel Kiper is just very twitchy, very twitchy.
Yeah, he's twitched up. I thought it was great. It was it felt the same, you know. The New York Jets fans
a draft's 80% highlight reels anyway.
It is Schefter pretty funny with the this is the first sporting event that ESPN is showing. WNBA fans were not happy. It's just classic NFL.
12 of them.
NFL just doesn't give a shit. They don't care. They got backlash when they said they do the draft and people were like up in arms.
Right.
And it's also like you look back on it, it's like, well, they don't have draft rooms of 20 people. Like I would be pissed.
Actually, they usually do, but like they're like, all right, we're just gonna do a distance.
Right, we're just gonna do and it was fine. Bill O'Brien seemed mad. I think that was just shocking. Right, shocking that Bill O'Brien's the one that.
It's harder for him to make a bad decision now.
Damon Arnett drafted 19th. I didn't text you. I tweeted. You never responded, so I just assumed that you weren't happy. But classic.
You know what? I like the Ruggs pick, and then I was like, oh, well, of course they're gonna take some guy who like no one thinks is going for another 30 picks way too early. Like that's the one that like.
Whatever. You like the Al Davis pick, by the way. Just
Ruggs. I think Ruggs is good.
Yeah.
I thought the Niners were gonna take him. They didn't get a chance to.
They wouldn't have taken him. They wouldn't have taken him.
If the Raiders took Kinlaw, they might have took him. But who knows? They didn't, so it doesn't really matter. Ruggs speaks to more what the NFL wants, which is just like, just give me speed and I'll scheme up getting him to space.
Gruden's legit, too. I you guys drafted him and what?
Not me. Don't say you guys. But but Gruden's, I don't know. He's average. We'll see. I feel like they're building up a team where they're just basically like, Carr, you don't get your shit together this year. It's fucking, you're gone. You know?
Well, hey, listen.
That's fine. That's fine.
He needs a kick in the ass. He needs a.
Well, no, it's just kind of like, all right, we're giving you a situation. Now prove it again.
The Niners are doing something similar with Jimmy G, I think. I don't think they're going to throw him away next season, but they've essentially put together a team for him now that's very that offense is going to be very Jimmy G friendly. You talk about they picked up Ayuk, who's just Debo, and then so now you got two guys running slants.
Debo's obviously going to be better. Well, now here's the weird part. They don't get to work out in offseason. So, like, I mean, I told you Debo's going to be a pro.
Now I just don't know what to think of anyone, but that's more of a like a
coronavirus take where it's like, I don't really know who's how to expect players to improve. You know?
Yeah. Especially, I mean, chemistry wise, right? Because in the NBA, you can still play. Right, like LeBron can still just handle and you can got guys stand in the corner. But with Jimmy G and a lot of these guys, I mean, he's going to have Ayuk, you know, Debo. I mean,
you don't just get, you just don't get timing overnight. You need to run the reps.
And these guys, I mean, Shanahan offense is timing too. And they got Trent Williams who, whew.
Whew. That's a great move.
This Niners front office is legit. Now, there's a couple, some people weren't happy, but that's just Twitter. No, I thought the Niners did a great job, man. They didn't have many picks. I thought they would do the trade back from 13 to 14, get a pick, trade back from 14 to 20, get two more picks, and then trade back from 31 to 40 and get two more picks, right? Turns out they did the opposite. They just got a kind of like a bunch of frontline players. Like Ayuk, Kinlaw, and Trent are all.
Well, there's still kind of a year. I mean, getting rid of Buckner.
By the way, that seems like not really money, right? It seems like they kind of just wanted him to go.
No, it was money
because they can't
part of it.
They can't pay Buckner
22 and Armstead 7. Like that's a lot of money for 2D tackles.
Well, they could have gotten rid of Armstead instead, in what I'm saying. But like, it seems. Like,
I think it seemed to me. I think that was a Moneyball move. I think they said Armstead costs less, and Buckner gets us a better player in a trade.
So, also, feel like it is a Moneyball move, but also the NFL is a salary cap. Like you can't.
Yeah. It's a hard cap. Whatever they set the cap at that year, there's no like maneuver. Like with the Warriors, with getting D'Lo and like. Trying to like expand their caps with Wiggins and stuff like that. Like you can't do that in the NFL.
NBA's got loopholes on loopholes. I do think the Niners have like they've got like I keep likening it to like the Falcons where Matt Ryan had that MVP season. I think Jimmy G has it set up to where he could have a really 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 good year. But you know, is Jimmy G that good? I don't. You know, who knows? But they need him to be like to take that leap into.
Or they just need the defense to be a little better. The defense was excellent, but it's...
D Ford, stay healthy.
Or they need to not run into maybe the greatest quarterback. I mean, they have, you know,
whatever. Yeah, they'll run into him again. That's the problem. That's the problem is they're
That's
not
the problem. He doesn't look like he's going away.
Like, they're going to see Patrick Mahomes again. So, to me, it's like, hey, Jimmy G, how about you make that fucking throw to Sanders next time? You know what I mean? Like... maybe Ayuk actually catches up to a ball. I don't know. So I thought the Niners did a great job. It's exciting. By the way, the NFL, they're not supposed to start till I think usually Labor Day. So they've still got five.
I mean, they're doing exactly what I would do in their situation, which is, yeah, we're going to start. Like why deal with postponements in April? You know, like, they're, you know, even if you're just praying for pie in the sky,
right? The NFL, they'll do anything to get the games back. I can't wait for. There is a chance that we get the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB all together this September. So, you know, hopefully this all clears up. But
all right, we'll be back next week. I think we're gonna have Marcus Thompson on.
Ooh, news to me
to break down. He said he'd. I gotta double check if it's next week or the one after. Do a little. Last Dance recap with us.
Oh, it's the most exciting thing I've ever heard. All right, Ben. Stuff, brother.